Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two of the Lombardi Line. I am Dave Ross here at Circus Sports, Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Ryan Leaf joins us today back in Connecticut. What's the weather like there, Ryan? Is it like Wazoo, Washington State type weather, cold?
Yeah, I mean, it's winter time, you know, in the Northeast.
Right.
It's probably in the low 40s, you know, crisp, cool. It's what we wanted when we moved to the Northeast. We wanted the changing seasons moving from Los Angeles, and you know, that's what we got.
Do you like this
nice place to raise a family?
Yeah, right. This is football weather though, right? Like, you don't mind playing in weather like this, do you?
I love it. You can, you know, when you walk out and you can feel the crisp nature of the outside, and it's football weather for sure. Both my games, you know, over the next few weeks, I think I might have Chargers Patriots second to last weekend, and that's going to be out in the elements in Foxborough. That's always great. I love when the windows are open in the press box when I'm calling the game, so I can feel the cold, but I'm still inside calling the game. I feel like I got the best of both worlds in that instance. I'm calling Ravens Texans on Christmas Day. And that will be from the warm confines of NRG Stadium. And also, there's a football game going on with a Beyonce concert at halftime. My wife's pretty jealous of me for that deal.
Oh, you get to see the Queen Bee and call a football game. That's pretty good.
Merry
double dip
Christmas.
Right there. That's pretty good on you, Ryan. Let's talk about what we saw last night very quickly here. Obviously, the Vikings get the money if you laid it. Never really in jeopardy against the Bears. As they run away and hide there, 30-12. And then the Falcons, depending on the number, if you laid the 5.5, you got home. There was some late movement to 6.5. If you had the Raiders there with a late line move, you would have still cashed 15-9, blocked extra point, would have made all of that moot. Had the Raiders successfully gotten that, got that number to 5, but it ends 6. 15-9, both unders do cash as well. We've talked a lot about the quarterbacks that we saw last night and maybe not the best of football. You mentioned the elements. No elements in Minnesota as they get that home win. What's your takeaway? Should we really look at the Vikings and say, yeah, they're tied with Detroit and they've got them in the last game of the year? Can they go to Detroit in that last game and win and ultimately potentially win that division?
Definitely. By all means, they can. The bigger question in all of this is, are the injuries that have affected Detroit so detrimental to that football team that with the good-looking schedule ahead of them, I know they have to go to San Francisco, and that normally would have been a tremendous battle. It doesn't maybe necessarily look that way now with where the San Francisco 49ers are, but Minnesota certainly has the more difficult schedule ahead of them. But there is no reason for me to think that Minnesota can't find a way to be the number one overall seed and be the division champion, though I do think that Philadelphia, if they see a crease of an opening, they're going to step through that and make everybody come through Philly.
Wow.
To get to the Super Bowl, which would be a monumental win for the Eagles. But I do think Minnesota can definitely win this division with all that's going on in Detroit. That's an interesting number for me in terms of where we're sitting at on the numbers for who wins the division. Because if you want to take a little risk, with a much more reward, you know, I would take a really good look at Minnesota as being the division champions because of all the injuries that are affecting the Detroit Lions down the stretch right now.
It's fascinating, Ryan, because, again, we might not need to wrap our heads around if the Vikings run the table the rest of the way. They might get the number one seed in the NFC, which I don't think anybody thought plausible, you know, a couple weeks ago, but they just keep on winning. So right now you got to lay 265 on the Lions to win the division, and the Vikings right now plus 210. To that end, Ryan, we're seeing some line movement, and one of them is in the Detroit game against Chicago. And I joked about you being there in Connecticut and that crisp air and football weather. Has Jared Goff now, and I know that's not the reason why this is moving from 8 to 6.5, but it is significant to move through 7. It's more on the injury side that you alluded to for the Lions. Is Jared Goff an outside quarterback now, the Cal kid? Can we now say that Jared Goff can go out and win in cold temperatures? It's going to be cold Sunday in Soldier Field.
Yeah, Soldier Field's a little different in terms of crisp and coldness because of the wind. Mm. But just go back this year alone to his performance in Green Bay when they needed a win on the road and the weather was horrible. You know, it was kind of a side sleety rain. And,
right.
And he was great. He was almost perfect in the first half in that type of weather. So I just think this team has taken on the mentality and identity of their head coach. And in doing that, you place them in any kind of, you know, environment and they're going to thrive, that grit that he talks about. So the biggest thing for me is the injury front. You know, are they going to be able to maintain? The one thing that the Bears do have is they're incredibly good defensively, especially in the red zone. They limit teams to field goals a lot. And that's what gave them a real chance when they played Detroit over Thanksgiving. They just have been a horrible first half team. I mean, they look as incompetent as any team I can even imagine in first halves of football games. It's just been unbelievable to see. And then to see in the second half, the adjustments made and the ability for them to come back. It's hard to fathom. So, you know, if you're looking for maybe like a for sure one, you take what the points are going to be for the Chicago Bears or the over-under in the first half, and you take that sizably on the under there because they just can't score. You know, I don't know what that number is right now, but they have just been bad. But I don't – to answer your original question, I don't have any problem with Jared Goff stepping into cold weather atmospheres and playing good football. These will be two road games back-to-back in the elements. They'll play at Soldier Field. Then they'll go out to San Francisco for a rematch of the NFC Championship game, which will be outdoors before they close it down in a dome versus Minnesota. Now, you know, if they're able to get to that place where they get home field advantage and are the number one seed as they are right now, everybody has to come through Detroit. They never have to go outside again, right? The Super Bowl's in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So they'll never be outside again as an offense that is very potent. Problem is, the only two games they've lost this year, both have been at home. You know, we'll see if the road undefeated streak continues. But both losses, of course, to Seattle at home and then last week to Buffalo at home as well, doesn't bode well necessarily. That playoff bid, can you imagine that going, you know, additional round, NFC championship in that stadium, Eminem, all those folks going wild. I think it'd be pretty crazy to see it happen. I hope everybody can be as healthy as possible if that were to happen.
8 Mile in the house with Eminem. By the way, you look at these line moves, you can understand why the Bills are up 11.5 to 14 against the Patriots, right? We just talked a little bit, and we're going to talk more about the Ravens and the Steelers, why that's up to 6.5 there. The line's down towards the underdog there where the Bears 6.5. Flip of favorites, that's because Patrick Mahomes. So right now the Texans are laying 2 in Kansas City. I'd be careful there, people, if 15 decides to play. I'd be curious to see where that line flattens out at. Very quickly here, before we get to the game of the week, could you lay 10 with the Falcons? I know it's the Giants.
Oh, I just saw that.
Oh my God. Like, is that terrifying to you? Like laying 10 with the Falcons?
It's so terrifying. I mean, I have no faith in them, right. But then you go look at the Giants and you're like, I mean, what are the Giants doing essentially?
Well, they're
essentially Brian Daboll has to clearly feel safe that he has a job next year because he's allowed all this to happen. Because if you were any bit of a coach, you don't throw away the best chance you have to win football games, and that was Daniel Jones, at least in this offense. And by doing that, you've put yourself in a position now where you have really no chance to win football games. So if you were ever going to chase 10 points in a game against the Giants with Atlanta, this would be the time. I don't have any faith in it. I don't recommend it. But if there was a time, it'd probably be this time because the Giants have just absolutely just laid down and said, rub my belly.
I mean, that's a game I think I want zero part of. But again, we're going to have it all covered for you here at VSiN. So you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Holiday special going on now. Through May 1st, you get all the access to our content for just $79. Daily best bets, 24/7 video access, all of it, all the way through the Super Bowl, college football playoff, March Madness. So VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up for our holiday special. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. That gets us to our Lombardi Line Game of the Week. Been talking about it here, and it's a really good one. Obviously, the Steelers can win the division if they can win in Charm City. This number has moved two from 4.5 up to 6 towards the Steelers side. Ryan, it feels like a trick question that Elliot Bowman, our producer, has here, but who's got the edge in the quarterback battle? I know nobody feels like they're playing better than Lamar, than maybe Josh Allen, but really Russell Wilson has kind of resurrected his career. How do you evaluate those two quarterbacks?
Well, I thought that this was going to be a put up or shut up, gauntlet for the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs to finish here. If they could have found a way to win all three of those games, there was a chance for them to be in the conversation for the number one overall seed. Well, I've never seen a Pittsburgh Steelers team get beat down in which they did on Sunday to the Philadelphia Eagles. 206, I think, total yards of offense.
Eesh.
They only ran 11 plays in the second half. The Najee Harris fumble, I don't know if you really call it a fumble. He just took his eyes off the ball and the ball, blah, blah, blah. After that play, offensively, they couldn't do anything because they didn't have the ball. Philadelphia just ran down the throat of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we don't see that with a Mike Tomlin coach team. Now, that's why I think they'll come back in a divisional opponent with the Baltimore Ravens and make this a very good football game. If you don't recall, last time it was all field goals by the Steelers to get the win over the Ravens. The Ravens haven't beat the Steelers for some time. I think that's the third consecutive victory. Even last year when they went 13-4 or whatever they were, two of their losses were to the Pittsburgh Steelers, one of them which was Kenny Pickett at the helm for them. They just have their number. Mike Tomlin has John Harbaugh's number. And is this game going to be any different? We're seeing it at -6 right now, 45.5. I don't know if I like that. I think 45.5 is a lot of points in a game where I think that it better be about defense. But if TJ Watt doesn't go, then I understand. And if TJ Watt doesn't go, that presents a problem for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because if you go back and look at through the lifetime of statistics, when TJ Watt is not in the starting lineup for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they do not have a lot of success.
No, they don't. We're going to have Mike DeFabo join us next here, Ryan, coming back out of the break to talk more about this marquee matchup. That's next on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Tuesday edition here of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Ryan Leaf coming at you. A real pleasure now with that big game, Ryan, that we just talked about with the Steelers against the Ravens for AFC North supremacy here. To be joined by Mike DeFabo, does a great job covering the Steelers, joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And you can also check him out on The Athletic as well on X at Mike DeFabo. Mike, looking at the Steelers last week and not what they wanted, obviously, against the boys from Fly Eagles Fly. How do they flip that script now in what, I mean, this game really means everything to Pittsburgh. If they win, they wrap up the division. And I don't think anybody saw that coming to possibly do that with two games remaining if they get this win on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the game in Philadelphia, and the Steelers really got it handed to them on both sides of the football. You know, Pittsburgh wants to be this team that can rely on running the football and play great defense. And really, when you look at the game, the Eagles instead really had that blueprint. You know, they were the more physical team up front. They ran the ball effectively. They got the ball to their playmakers and really did pretty much whatever they wanted against the Steelers. You know, really, the game wasn't even as close as the score might indicate. You know, and the Steelers only had the ball twice in the second half in terms of possession. So, you know, as bad as that game was, as disheartening as it was for fans that were, you know, looking at it as a measuring stick, saying how close are the Steelers to being a real Super Bowl contender, you know, if you turn the page quickly and you beat the Ravens, the Steelers, that will clinch the AFC North for them. So, you know, they've historically had Lamar Jackson's number. He's just 1-4 against the Steelers, and you have to go back to 2019 to find a time that Lamar beat the Steelers. So the biggest thing for them right now is getting healthy and getting refocused, knowing that this is going to be the biggest game of the season.
Yeah, the getting healthy part is huge. TJ Watt, we heard Mike Tomlin yesterday talk about how there's the doors open a little bit for the possibility. What are you hearing in terms of TJ Watt's availability, because that is a huge factor in whether this team wins or loses with T.J. Watt in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, when it happened late in the fourth quarter, T.J. Watt was just rushing off the edge, and he just went down. And, you know, it looked pretty bad, and players were saying that they were kind of in panic mode, knowing that this is really their team leader and such an important piece of this defense. So he got x-rays. Those were negative. No structural damage there. So they're calling it a low ankle sprain, which is really best-case scenario. And so Mike Tomlin says he's moving around well within the facility. Today will be the first day that the Steelers practice. So, you know, today would be a good day to look at what his availability is and what he does in practice. But, you know, given the stakes of this game and given that the Watt family as a whole is known for being so tough, I would expect TJ to do everything he can to get out there. And that is such an important piece when you're playing Lamar Jackson, because as I mentioned previously, the Steelers have had Lamar's number. And a really important piece of that formula is what you get from your edge rushers. And the Steelers do such a good job of corralling Lamar, putting pressure on him, keeping him in the pocket, not allowing him to scramble. And a lot of that really just starts with Alex Highsmith and T.J. Watt to go along with the interior pass rushers of, you know, Cam Hayward and so forth. So, you know, it's going to be such a huge thing, but that's a huge, huge injury to keep an eye on, along with the injuries to George Pickens, mm-hmm. who's already missed two games with the hamstring, and also strong safety to Sean Elliott, who really is an important piece of this run defense and, you know, has been a really big surprise as an offseason addition. So all those injuries will be important factors in this game.
Yeah, two straight games without Pickens. You hope to get him back. Ravens now up to 6-point favorites total here, sitting at 45. Mike, when you look at the job that Arthur Smith has done, because they couldn't wait to run him out of Atlanta, and then he comes to Pittsburgh, and what's the identity now? Like, with he and Russell Wilson, why is that relationship symbiotic? Why is that working?
Well, I think when you look at Russell Wilson, he's in the closest situation to what he was in his early days in Seattle. And what I mean by that is, he doesn't feel like it's all on his shoulders. He has a great defense that supports him. I mean, last time the Steelers played the Ravens, they didn't let them into the end zone until the very end of the game in the fourth quarter, held them down. And because of that great defensive performance, the Steelers were able to beat the Ravens without scoring a single touchdown. You know, Chris Boswell kicked all the field goals. So, you know, that's one big factor here is that, you know, Russell Wilson knows, you know, he's got the defense to support him. Then they are run-first offense, and they run the ball a lot. They don't run the ball very efficiently at all. But by doing so, they kind of set the expectation, and they establish their identity that we're going to keep pounding at you. It's going to be a long day for you. We're going to stick to the run, even if it's not as efficient as we'd like. And then really the key has been adding the explosive element through the play-action deep shot. And that's where Pickens comes in, is he's basically been the Steelers get out of jail free card on offense, where when they can't get things going, when it feels like nothing's going right, Russell Wilson still can throw the deep ball. You know, throughout his entire career, he's been one of the NFL's best deep ball passers. All his stats and passes that travel 40 or 30 yards in the air are near the tops of the league historically. And George Pickens, just with his ridiculous catch radius, with his physicality, and, you know, he turns those 50-50 balls into something that's much more in his favor. So, you know, that's going to be such an important piece here. And if the Steelers are without George Pickens, not only do you lose his production, but you also lose all that attention that defenses have to pay to him and all that time and game planning to figure out how do we slow down a guy like Pickens. So, you know, it's going to be a very different game if George Pickens is not able to go on Saturday.
Well, it certainly has shown that over the last 2 weeks, their straight line speed down the field. You would hope Mike Williams could help penetrate that, but it just simply hasn't happened. Only two possessions in the second half against Philadelphia. I'm a self-proclaimed Steelers fan, have been since I was knee-high, right? I thought Russell Wilson coming in was going to be exactly what Mike Tomlin needed, competent quarterback play with a defense that presented. These last three games, the three games that were the most important, Philly, Baltimore, the Chiefs on Christmas Day, was going to say whether they were pretenders or contenders. I walked away from that game against Philly going, they don't feel like they're a team that can vie for the AFC Championship or let alone get to the Super Bowl. How does that have to be corrected? What has to change in this game against Baltimore, and Mike Tomlin's been very clear over the years, they compartmentalize. It doesn't matter what happened last week. It's about what's happening right now. What do they have to do in this football game to walk away as division champions and put themselves right back in the AFC title race?
Yeah, I mean, what they have to do is they have to play some of their best games. At different points this season, we've seen both sides of the ball carry the team, and we've seen them play complementary football and, in a sense, bail each other out. So, you know, you go back a couple weeks, and Russell Wilson threw for more than 400 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, it was one of his best performances of his entire career. And that offense really looked like it was clicking well. Then you have other instances where, you know, the last time they played against the Ravens, that was the number one offense in so many different statistical categories. And the defense really turned this into an old-fashioned, you know, knockdown, drag-out AFC North battle and really beat up the Ravens. So really the key for the Steelers as they go down the stretch here against the Ravens and Chiefs and as they head into the playoffs is, will they ever play a complete game? You know, we've seen both sides play really excellent football at different points. But right now, that last game against the Eagles, you could argue that both sides had their worst performance of the season. So how do you bounce back on both sides of the football? And that's going to be the key for them going forward. And, you know, you can dive into little things like they need to run the ball more efficiently. You know, Russell Wilson needs to find a deep threat without George Pickens in the fold. You know, the Steelers, in terms of their secondary, they need to clean up some of those issues where that's probably been the weakness on that side of the ball. But really more than anything, it's just about you're going to have to play your best game in the biggest moments, and now's the time to do so in late December and going into January.
Only about 45 seconds, Mike. I got to ask you, Mike Tomlin's 12-1 to win Coach of the Year. Could you not make the case this is actually his best coaching job this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is. The decision to bring in Russell Wilson, the decision to turn to Russell Wilson when the Steelers were 4-2 with Justin Fields was great. And coming into this year, I think the Vegas odds were that the Steelers were going to finish last in the AFC North. So absolutely, I think that Mike Tomlin is very deserving over, you know, the course of his career. But this, I would say, has to be up there with his best coaching jobs.
Mike, great stuff. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line. And it's a big one on Saturday. Enjoy it. And we'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Great having Mike DeFabo here join the program before that big one on Saturday. Got a lot of big games coming up this weekend, Ryan. I'm going to talk about these with Jonathan Von Tobel next because the college football playoff begins on Friday. So right now, the VSiN College Football Playoff Betting Guide, you got to get it. Okay, going to have every single game out there. And one of the coolest things about this, not only do you get the power ratings from Steve Mackin and does a great job with his numbers, we got bonus picks from Brent Musburger on every single bowl game. So the holiday special right now, you get your copy of the guide, plus VSiN Pro Access for everything we do all the way through May 1st for just $79. So it's all there for you. Do not fumble and chance your chance to win big. So check it out, VSiN.com/subscribe. Sign up today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. When we come back, Ryan, we will be joined by JVT College Football and Beyond next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Ryan Leaf here with you. He is in Connecticut. I'm here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Always love catching up with our guy, JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel. You can follow John, as I do, on X at MeJVT, and joins us now again on the Progressive Guest Line. Jonathan, I cannot believe it. It's finally here. College bowl season is upon us. Memphis and West Virginia today. But you've got your eye on the Rebels, and I can't say running Rebels because that's just basketball. Correct. But the Rebels, I got that right, they're laying one against Cal. What do you think of the Rebs here to open up bowl season tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's interesting, right, because the initial outset of these bowls being scheduled, the initial thought was that Cal was going to be the side. They opened up 3, got up to 4.5. You thought that maybe UNLV was going to be going through a lot in terms of turnover, but it's actually pretty static. Barry Odom, of course, is out at Purdue, but it sounds like Brendan Marion is coordinating the offense. Every single one of their players is playing, including NFL hopeful Ricky White. This is a team that has not played in a bowl, or excuse me, had played a bowl last year, but it was the first time since 2014, hasn't won a bowl since 2000. This is going to be a highly motivated club to go out there and get this win over Cal, whose quarterback is not going to be playing for him here. So I took UNLV money line when it was a small plus price. I still think laying one is playable here. I think the situation is great for UNLV. You got a lot of guys who might be playing their last game of football. I think some of them know that. Haj Malik Williams might be among them too. This is a big motivational spot for a team and a program that has not had a lot of bowl success over the last near three decades. So I think UNLV is in a good spot on Wednesday. Give me the Rebels.
You know, Jonathan, this college football bowl season is so fascinating to me in terms of when you're looking to make some plays here or there, because you really have no idea necessarily what these teams are going to look like. Sometimes they could look a completely like a shell of themselves, a preview of what's to come, all these new things. How difficult is it to handicap these types of games? And when you see a UNLV that has maybe just a one-off where they lose their head coach, but to your point, bring back all the guys, the roster stays pretty much the same up against a Cal team that you really have no idea what you're going to get in terms of a roster. How difficult is that to handicap and try to come out on the right side of things?
Oh, I think it's insanely difficult, Ryan. And in fact, I'll be completely honest. I hate bowl season. Like, I enjoy the games themselves, but in terms of gauging how these are going to go, it's kind of a crapshoot. And I'll give you a good example. So last year, and I like to poke fun, but last year, one of the spots, right, was San Jose State was going out to the Hawaii Bowl. Shaven Cordero was going back home, right? You were playing an opponent that had some transfers, and they think this is the spot, and the market bets that number all the way up. And I think San Jose State goes off as like an 8.5-point favorite, somewhere in that range. Everybody loved the situation for San Jose State. They got smoked in the bowl game, right? Because, and maybe Shaven Cordero did like going home, but maybe Shaven Cordero was also chilling out in Hawaii. He didn't really care because he was back home and then he had to go play a football game after hanging out with his homies all week. So I'm with you. Like, you don't really know. And I think you just take your best educated guess and you try to get ahead of the number too. And that's always going to put you in the best position possible. Like in this game here, like I said, I've got about a +115 money line on UNLV. They're going to go off as a favorite here. I think it's the best you can ask is just trying to get ahead of the market, trying to stay with the information. And also don't be afraid to get on a bad number. Like I said, Cal was a 4.5-point favorite. You know, I covered the team part-time for UNLV. Initially, I had heard that maybe Marion wasn't going to be with the team anymore, that he wasn't going to coordinate. So you sit back and wait. You get confirmation that he's going to be out there. You get confirmation the guys are Ricky White, Jackson Woodard, and others are going to play. And then even if you didn't get the peak of the number, as long as you get a better number, I think you're going to put yourself in the best position possible. So I think that's the best way you can attack it.
We know that they certainly care about football in the shoe, and they're going to care Friday when Tennessee comes in. And I don't know if that's good news for Ryan Day. Because Ohio State's laying 7.5 here, Jonathan, to kick off the college football playoff. In that pressure, you feel like it would mount immediately if they don't get off on the good foot here in this one. What do you make of Tennessee and Ohio State here? And it does feel like there's some internal pressure on Tennessee. Doesn't feel like it. Feels like it's all one-way traffic in the pressure cooker, and that's to Ohio State.
Yeah, I'm gonna say right now, Dave, that so I have two bets on this game. I hate one of them, and I really like the other. And I hate the fact that I've taken 7.5 with Tennessee because it feels like a very, very popular side.
Yep.
And yet here we are static at 7.5, like no movement whatsoever. So there doesn't really seem to be a rush by respected money to come in and grab 7.5 with Tennessee. And maybe we're overreacting to everything. Now, part of the reason why I do like Tennessee is this matchup with this offensive line versus this defensive front for Tennessee. We know how good they are at the edges. Their second leading player in terms of overall pressures is actually lining up along the interior. You have an interior offensive line for Ohio State where, by some accounts, they're still figuring out who they want to start along that trio at guard and center. So I think this is going to be a situation where Ohio State's offensive line is going to have some issues. It's going to cause this offense, as we have seen throughout the year at times, look maybe a little stuck in the mud. Now for Tennessee too, and this is why I bet this game under 47.5. This is a team that in just SEC play finished 11th in the SEC in terms of yards per play, just under 5.5 yards per play. They were pretty mundane, pretty average, not the unit that you expect them to be. Weather reports are that this thing's going to be, you know, below freezing. I think the high day is about 29 degrees, a low of 17. Not really great for a bunch of kids coming up from Knoxville. So I think overall, it's going to be a pretty ugly, low-scoring affair. Bet this under 47.5. Also, of course, think that entails that this underdog is going to be a little bit more live, staying inside 7.5 as well. But don't really love the popularity of the Volunteer side, but do really like that this game, I think, could go under the total.
Yeah, I like that, too. You got a team that's coming into a situation where and that's what I loved about the idea of these playoff games is that it having yep. having home field advantage. You're going to have some teams that have never seen snow, have never seen the cold, have never seen a thermometer go below 45 degrees where they're at, and they're going to have to go play in some very difficult situation. So that much makes it very interesting for me. Let's move on to the NFL side of things a little bit here. There's two games I want to really take a closer look at. One for me is the Rams at the Jets. The Jets have an unbelievable second half. I think, you know, like most people, they overreact to Jets mania. The team is playing for nothing. There's no playoffs in their future, no idea what their future looks like. I don't know what Devontae Adams said to Aaron Rodgers in the locker room at halftime, but clearly it changed the facet of things there in the second half against the Jags. For me, the Rams have every opportunity now to be the division champion, to host a playoff game, to start the playoffs. This is one game that gets in the road, fly all the way across the country, play against a Jets team that seemingly found something a little bit, a favorite on the road at MetLife. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I think situationally for me, this is all about the Jets and the number two. I mean, if you're going to give me 3.5, there's smattering those out there. I'll take my chances with the Jets catching the field goal on the hook here at home. Like you mentioned it, you get a little extra rest if you're LA, right? Because you played on Thursday, but you have to go across the country to play the Jets. Jets are playing free and loose. Aaron Rodgers was trying to communicate with aliens on Friday before the game, and then he goes out there and has one of his better contests with Devontae Adams. So they look like they're actually a little bit looser than usual here. And I just do. I like this Rams team, but I do think there's a smattering of potentially overvaluing them to a potential extent. We've seen some pretty good outings from them, right? Of course, we saw the Rams game against the Buffalo Bills, that Thursday night matchup. But I don't know if I'm at a point where I'm laying a key number with them in this situation against the New York Jets, who really are playing pretty well. And that connection between Adams and Rodgers seems to be kind of sparking and playing a little bit better. So this to me is about the number and the spot. I think the Jets are going to be pretty live, and it's about kind of buying low on the Jets, right? All these other situations where the markets were moving against, were moving with them every single week. We were talking about them flipping the favorites and being a favorite and whatnot. But now you look at the last couple of games, if you got 6.5 against the Dolphins, you end up covering that number. You're talking about a short number against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and here you are catching field goal and a hook against the LA Rams. I think now is the time if you want to. The market's been wrong in the Jets all year long. I think now is the time to start to back them because they're at that market low.
If Rodgers can win this game and help me cash my Seattle 6-1 ticket to win the division, I'll try ayahuasca. Kidding.
JVT, ayahuasca. It's ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca? I don't know. I'm not good on my hallucinogenics. JVT, I know you
did. Until we start talking about DMT, Dave. Not that I would know.
I'm so lost. How do you bet the Jaguars and Raiders? Like, what type of heathen do you have to be to bet that game?
I mean, me, maybe. So here's the thing. This is all, imagine this, if I were to tell you, this is all dependent on whether or not Aiden O'Connell plays. if Aiden O'Connell is going to play for the Raiders, then they're going to be in a pretty good spot. I mean, because here's the thing. We can criticize Favre all we want, but Aiden O'Connell at least does one good thing, which is when he hits that back foot, like the ball is out, and you hear every single description of him, people that watch film, like he at least runs the offense, knows where it goes, and he does not put the ball in danger. He's not a hyper-aggressive quarterback. Your offense, for the most part, is going to stay on schedule, and we've seen him with the ability to go after some pretty poor secondaries. You guys, go back to Black Friday. The Kansas City Chiefs statistically are a pretty poor secondary. They're ranking around 23rd, 24th in EPA per pass by opponents. And Aiden O'Connell went out there and was tearing them apart, had an opportunity to potentially win that game, and was really great through the air. You're going to be able to do that here against Jacksonville. The worst secondary, a secondary that plays mostly man. You're going to be able to go after him. They don't really have any answers for guys like Brock Bowers. Mayers is back too, so that gives you that two tight end set that's really going to help them out. Jacoby Myers is a good receiver. So if you tell me that Aiden O'Connell is going to play, then it, to me, give me the Las Vegas Raiders. And we've seen the market kind of flip here, right? We talked about this yesterday on primetime. They were a one-point favorite. After that result, it's back to Jacksonville. If I get any indication that O'Connell's going to play, and he was running around the field before the game yesterday, give me the Raiders.
Great stuff, JVT. Thanks for hopping on, as always, my friend. Checking us out here on the Progressive Guest Line, and check out VSiN Primetime as well. If you're a backer of the Ponies, by the way, our friends at First Bet got you covered. Sign up today. You get at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And you use the promo code VSiN200. You're going to get 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. So head over to firstbet.com and sign up today. Ryan, it's a lot of fun. News or noise will determine it next on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition here of the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross and Ryan Leaf. A lot of fun having Ryan on the program today. I had JVT in the last segment. Mike DeFabo earlier this hour talking Steelers and Ravens. So a really informative hour as well. But Ryan, it is now time for the first time we're putting you in the crosshairs. Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Okay, Ryan Leaf, you know how wide receivers are as a quarterback. They're divas, right? That's the word on the street. So here's what maybe the greatest wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice, had said about Deebo Samuel, who'd been clamoring for the ball, right? That you've got to, if you're going to clamor for the football, you got to catch the football. Before I get to Jerry, A.J. Brown had clamored for the football as well in Philadelphia. And, he got the football. And then this is what he had to say about how the week led up to the game that we saw on Sunday.
It's very uncomfortable because you don't want nobody to. First of all, I didn't call anybody out, but behind closed doors, yeah, we talk about that. We call each other out, you know, and that's very uncomfortable because you don't want to feel like you're getting attacked. But, you know, like I said, we're not in it for fitness and we're trying to get on the same page. We're trying to win. That was our moment to tell everybody to shut up, you know, honestly.
Okay, so Ryan Leaf, news or noise, did A.J. Brown, in fact, call out his quarterback?
It sure sounds like he did, you know, however you want to talk about it in terms of semantics or not. Last week was a tough week, but it clearly feels like where the Eagles thrive is in a place of chaos. That's simply put, and maybe we've noticed that, like Sirianni, Philadelphia, everybody. They just need to throw a firecracker into a small room to make them kind of light a fire under each other. And it seemingly worked because they pounded the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday. They look like the best team in the NFC right now, for sure.
You know, I'm watching that game, Ryan, too, and I'm thinking maybe A.J. Brown was right. Like Jalen Hurts, if I called you out, throw me the damn ball, like Keyshawn said back in the day. So it seemed to work, at least on Sunday, for the Eagles. I mentioned Jerry Rice, and man, I wonder if this is news or noise when the greatest receiver of all time, in most people's eyes, had this to say about Deebo, who had asked for the football and then maybe didn't catch the football. Here's Jerry.
Okay, after you complain about not getting that many touches, you cannot drop the football. I mean, you know, because everybody is going to get down on you and they're going to come after you. So, you know, I never said anything about not getting touches or anything like that. I just worked, man. I just kept working. And if you show it during practice, you know, they're going to make the call during the actual football game where you're going to have opportunities where you can make catches, get into a rhythm, and be productive.
Okay, I don't know if I remember it that way with Jerry in his playing days. I think he had some things to say as well. But is that news or noise that, Ryan, if you bitch and moan about the ball, you better damn catch it?
Well, there's truth in that. Yeah, you better catch the football, especially once it hits you right in your hands while you're crossing wide open across the field. I don't know what it's been, the gods or what, when it comes to San Francisco. They've probably played in some of the worst weather games of the year. You remember this? The Bills game on Sunday Night Football that snowstorm. And then last week in the rainstorm against the Rams where no touchdowns were scored, you put your skill position players in difficult positions to catch the football. But, you know, this day and age with so much more emphasis on social media and everything like that, you're going to hear a lot more talking. You're going to hear a lot more. And I think Jerry Rice is kind of speaking to the idea like, hey, if you're going to talk some trash out there about whether or not you are not getting the ball enough, you better not give anybody some ammo by dropping the football. I don't remember a ton from Jerry Rice. You know, it would have to have come from a beat reporter writing in the newspaper. And I didn't live in the San Francisco area because of where the news media was then. But I'm pretty sure Jerry Rice would have let anybody know if he didn't get enough touches as the greatest receiver of all time. He would have been very adamant with that of the likes of Joe Montana and Steve Young. on how I was not getting the football.
I'm right there with you, Ryan. I think there's a bit of revisionist history going on there. I just worked. Yes, you worked, Jerry. We all know you worked, but just like Michael Irvin, you guys all clamored for the ball when you didn't get it enough, and maybe rightfully so. Deontay Johnson and the Ravens have mutually agreed to excuse the wide receiver, speaking of more diva receivers, from team activities. So remember, they traded for him from Carolina. That was in the middle of the season here. Is that news or noise that really the team's kind of saying, you know what? You don't want to be here. We don't necessarily want you here. Go ahead and you're going to be excused.
You know, I would have had this as more news than now just kind of noise. You know why? Because Rashad Bateman. Rashad Bateman is being asked to step up and do the things. He catches two touchdown passes last week down the field. And so that's what they need. They need a wide receiver. I don't know if you saw the stat that they put up on the screen during the game when Mark Andrews caught his touchdown to break the record for most touchdowns in Baltimore Ravens history. There isn't a wide receiver on it. Mm. All right. This team has been known simply for running backs and tight ends catching the ball. And for them to win, for them to be a real, you know, newsmaker in the playoffs, the wide receiver position and Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman are going to have to, you know, be at the forefront. So that's why Deontay Johnson was such a big pickup in my eyes, for them to be a difference maker. Nelson Aguilar, all of that. The fact that this hasn't panned out and to have Rashad Bateman show up like he did last week, I think allows this to be more noise than real news in this moment.
Well said. It should have been news. Excuse me, I get choked up. It should have been news, but now it's just noise because he has not performed, certainly to the way the team thought. Now he's not even performing at all. This might be my favorite one of the day, Ryan. We've got four college football playoff for the first time starting on Friday. In the National Weather Service, I don't know if you're infatuated with weather like I am, snow is forecasted for three of the four host sites. Is that news or noise that we're getting snow?
I think it's news. I really do, you know, especially from our standpoint. You know, when you're talking about lines in college football games, they're already, you know, all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what to think of with 18 to 22 year olds, whether or not they want to be there, whether or not they're looking into the portal because they have to right now. There's so much going on. And when you add weather into the mix, it becomes a problem, especially when SMU is coming from Dallas, Texas to play at State College, Pennsylvania. And then you have a situation where the Tennessee Volunteers are coming from the nice comfy comforts of Knoxville and flying into the Shoe to play in, you know, Ohio. That's a big deal. The other one, you know, Indiana at Notre Dame, you know, they're both from Indiana. Like, that's not going to be a problem for either team. They both know what it's like. The difference is going to be the stadium. But yeah, that's a big deal. You know, those were big deals in terms of, that's why I wanted the second round to be on the campuses of the bye teams. I wanted teams to have to come from, let's say, Alabama or, you know, Georgia or something like that, to have to go to Boise and play on the blue turf in 10 degree weather. Like, that's interesting to me. So I would have loved to see the second round be in home stadiums for the teams with the byes. Maybe that will change down the line, but this weekend should be a lot of fun. I did see what the NFL did though, right? I don't know if you saw this too for Saturday. You get Texans Chiefs and Ravens Steelers up against the NCAA's college football playoff first round game. So they don't mess around, the NFL. They say, hey, you want to try something new? Well, I got what every Jimmy and Joe wants to see, and that's playoff football, and you're going to get it between these two teams. All four of the teams playing on Saturday are playoff contenders. Those are the four that will play on Christmas Day. They just swap opponents when they play on Christmas Day. About 6 days later.
Better import some more snow if you want to get the eyeballs away from the NFL. That's going to be a tough sell. By the way, let's get to our best bets here. They are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VEASAN, Ryan. And great conversations with Jonathan Von Tobel, Matt Humans. And it's interesting because, you know, a game that we've talked a little bit about here is really the Chiefs and the Texans flipping favorites to the Texans because Patrick Mahomes might not play. Would you gobble up the plus the points right now? You get two on the Kansas City side, because I'd be surprised if Mahomes doesn't play versus if he did.
Yeah, I would be. This win is, I think, more important than the one maybe next week on the road.
Yep.
So I would suspect that we'll see Patrick Mahomes, and you're going to get plus points for the Kansas City Chiefs, who have found out how to. They've cracked the code. They know they're going to be in one possession game, flat out. They know they are. They're better at it at quarterback. They're better at it at the head coach in terms of time management. They're going to get the ball last. They're going to win. So I'm going all over the Chiefs plus the two if you get that number heading into this market on Saturday for the Chiefs and Texans.
GBank treats gaming transactions, by the way, as purchases. So typically you're going to save up to 3% to 5% on cash advance fees right there with GBank. So for right now, for a limited time, you're going to receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. So apply now at VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. Ryan, thanks for hanging out, man. The last 2 hours, a lot of fun picking your brain with the NFL and beyond.
Yeah, man, had a blast. Can't wait to do it again.
Absolutely. Can't wait to have you back on. Stay tuned after us here. It's a numbers game next.